580 thanks Champaign-Danville Overhead Doors for its support of Focus 580. Overhead Doors is pleased to support public radio in Central Illinois on behalf of its customers and business associates.
This is the Afternoon Magazine on WILL Urbana. Good afternoon, I'm Celeste Quinn. It's the first Monday of the month, a day we set aside to talk about diet, nutrition, and health. Today we talk about bone health. What can we do to keep our bones strong through old age? While we recognize the importance of bone health and maturity, it should be a lifelong pursuit for all of us. Postmenopausal women are at greatest risk for osteoporosis, but by the age of 70 to 75, men and women are equally at risk of losing bone mass and developing osteoporosis. Our guest this afternoon is an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Leon Root. We'll learn how this incurable condition can be prevented and treated. Dr. Root, together with Betty Callie Sargent, is co-author of Beautiful Bones Without Hormones. In the book, Dr. Root assesses a person's risk of developing osteoporosis, discusses the myths associated with the disease, and looks at the issues surrounding hormone replacement therapy. He also examines the medications approved for those with the diagnosis. The book also includes high-calcium diet plans and exercises to keep the body in shape. Listeners, I invite your questions for Dr. Leon Root. Join us with a telephone call. The number in Champaign-Urbana, 333-9455. That's 333-WILL. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455, 800-222-WILL. Dr. Root is an orthopedic surgeon at New York's Hospital for Special Surgery, where he also serves as the Director of Rehabilitation Medicine and Director of the BAC program. He's also a member of the faculty at the Weill College of Medicine at Cornell. Beautiful Bones Without Hormones is published by Gotham Books, which is a division of Penguin. 333-9455, 800-222-9455. Dr. Root, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Celeste.
Osteoporosis can and does cripple. This we know. It can also lead to death. This is something we may or may not know. To begin with here, let's get some basics. What is osteoporosis and what happens over the course of the disease?
Well, osteoporosis is a condition in which the bones get abnormally thin. The term osteo relates to bone, and porosis means thinning of the bone. It becomes porous. Bone is a living substance, Lest, and what happens is that you have two cells that work on bone. One is the osteoblast, which builds up bone, and one is the osteoclast, which eats bones away. As I explained in my book, this is a wonderful balance. You always have new bone being put down and old bone being taken away. But as one gets older, after the age of 30, that balance gets a little off. And the osteoclasts, the ones that take away bone, sometimes predominate over the ones that put down the bone. At menopause, when women go into menopause, that rate of loss of bone can be as much as 5 to 7% a year. Obviously, it's related to estrogen and female hormones. Men go through the same thing, but at a later stage. What is so important is that when you're young, to build up the strength of your bone to the maximum, you have to eat, get enough calcium in your diet, and you have to do exercise. So when you reach age 30, you get your bones to be their maximum density, between 25 and 30. Then if you start losing a little of that bone mass normally, it'll never get down to the point where it's osteoporotic and you start fracturing your bone.
Hmm. So if we're in our 20s and 30s, this is something we should be paying attention to. It's not a, you know, it's not a little old lady's disease.
You know, in my book, I point out that there are 10 myths. and what the first myth I say is that osteoporosis is a little old lady's disease, and that's not true. As you pointed out in your little introduction, men get it as well, but young people get it as well. And you don't, and not just when you're 50 or 60, you can start getting osteoporosis at 45. Now, also, women that have amenorrhea don't get their periods. Women that have hysterectomies so that they lose their ovaries or earlier in life, or women that have diseases such as rheumatoid arthritis or lupus disease, which are taking a lot of cortisone or prednisone, these women are going to be at a greater risk to develop osteoporosis. So they have to be concerned as well.
Mm. You know, it's interesting. Some years ago, I was on a course of prednisone, and this is something my doctor and I never talked about.
You know, doctors somehow let that slide by. 74% of all the women who have osteoporosis have never even discussed it with their doctors, never brought up. And probably 34% of the women that know that they have osteoporosis don't even bother doing anything about it. And so it's a lack of awareness, a definite lack of awareness. And I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and so what I see is the end results of all these terrible problems. When people fall and fracture their wrists or fracture their spines or break their hips, that's when I see them.
We already have a listener waiting to talk with us. Let's go and talk with this caller in Champaign on line one. Good afternoon.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm wondering then, if a person is 90, which my mother is there anything that can be done? She has a bent back and her neck is bent, and it probably is affecting her balance. She's still walking around, but I worry sometimes. She's never broken anything, any bones. And we asked her regular doctor about it once, and he said, well, you could go see a specialist about taking something called Fortio, but I looked that up, and it involves daily injections. And I thought, if you're 90 years old, perhaps, you know, you shouldn't be subjected to that. She never took any hormones, and she had a hysterectomy when she was around 48. And she's in excellent health, well, except for some heart problems. But I'm just wondering, at that age, is there anything that can be done, such as therapy or yoga or Alexander technique or anything that can improve the balance or the bentness?
Well, you're really asking two questions, and both of them are related. One is the question of balance, which older people lose, and that often was one of the reasons they fall and break things. And the other is, what do you do about the osteoporosis in the 90-year-old lady whose mind is intact and who still has a life ahead of her?
Mm-hmm.
And it is treatable. It's one of my myths I try to expel. Osteoporosis is treatable. You can make them better regardless of age.
Mm-hmm.
Regardless of age. Now, the first thing is, you know, you have to get your bone mineral density studies to know what level she's at.
Mm-hmm.
The second thing is, obviously, you have to go and check to see what her food and calcium content is.
Mm-hmm.
Older people need greater amounts of calcium because calcium is not well absorbed in older individuals. We don't have the acids in our stomach which help calcium to absorb.
Right. She takes calcium and she takes OsteoBiflex.
What is OsteoBiflex?
Well, that's something, I'm not quite sure what those two things are, but they're... it's used for arthritis, and it's okay with her doctors that she take that. It's an over-the-counter medication.
There are so many of these things that are around. Some of them help, but some of them, I think, are not proven to be really of value. I'll say that nicely.
Right. Well, she's not taking her.
But the calcium is important.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the type of calcium is important. Your calcium carbonates and your calcium citrates are important. In my book, I sort of list them all and tell you, you know, which one are the best, because there are about a half a dozen different ones. But your calcium carbonate is the most ubiquitous one. That's the one they have in Tums and Rolaids, which everybody
mm-hmm.
uses. And then the calcium citrate is called Citrical, is the over-the-counter name for it. But the calcium citrates are best absorbed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, your calcium is not going to be absorbed unless you take vitamin D with it.
Right.
And older people have to take larger amounts. You know, they mm-hmm. say 400 units of calcium a day. You need, 400 units of vitamin D a day. You need 600 or even 800
mm-hmm.
Micro units of vitamin D a day to help get that calcium absorbed. Plus, you have to get your magnesium, your manganese, zinc, copper, boron. I mean, all those little things are important. It's
well, would you recommend a multiple vitamin, which she's taking then?
Yeah, well, I think everybody, all older people, should probably be on a multivitamin. But, you know, you can get everything naturally. And
mm-hmm.
that's one of the things I've done with my diets. I have 60 recipes of calcium-rich diet in my book, and I talk about a two-week, pretty healthy calcium diet, and a week's diet for patients who have lactose intolerance, and a week's diet for people that are vegetarians. But getting back to your mother, because that's the important thing here. Here's a lady who, if she were to fracture her hip now, would have a 25% chance of dying within 6 months.
Right.
I mean, that's because they have, it's not the hip fracture, it's the complications of the hip fractures. So two things, let me finish about the, get the diet, check her diet, make sure she gets enough natural calcium in her diet, which is good, and then exercises. And exercises are important. In my book, I have a simple 15-minute morning a day program that's safe for all people to do. Older people, younger people, it's not going to hurt them. It's done at home. It requires no special equipment. And that's just to get the bone strengthened and the muscle strengthened. Then I also recommend what you do during the day, about walking up and down stairs, walking to the grocery store, you know, doing little tasks where you're on your feet and working, even in the garden, for instance, which will give you some points that you have to earn. I also discuss the various types of exercises. Now, yoga may not be a good exercise for your mother at this stage. But Tai Chi, would be, because that's an exercise you do standing. It only contains about 19 different movements. It's done slowly, carefully, and it's weight-bearing. Also helps the balance, very good for balance. So that would be an exercise that I think would be very beneficial to your mother.
Okay.
Now, the other thing is that make sure you safe-proof her house in regard to falling. Get rid of all loose rugs. Make sure the halls are well lighted at night in case she gets up to go to the bathroom.
We do that.
The other thing is make sure there are no loose cords on the floor, like phone cords. She's better off with a portable phone rather than a phone that that has a long line that you can drag and trip over. She should have bars in the bathroom, both in there, the shower and the toilet, so she doesn't fall. She has something to hold on to when she loses her balance. But keep her active.
Okay.
Most important.
And what did you say about the balance? Are you saying that that's not because the head might be bent or the back might be bent forward, but it's actually something in the brain?
It's a combination of three things as people get older, and this is a common problem, not just to your mom. The eyesight gets worse. The proprioception, your ability to feel your feet, you know where you are in space, it gets worse. And the little labyrinth in your brain that helps you keep upright doesn't work quite as well.
And what's the name of that labyrinth?
The labyrinth, it's the inner ear.
Oh, okay.
You know, they call it the vestibular apparatus.
Okay.
And that's like, you ever see a leveler with a little, you know, when you want to, is a surface level, it has a little bubble in the middle and you move it back and forth? Well, that's something that goes on in your brain, but it's crystals that do it. And those crystals get a little clogged and they don't work as well as they used to.
Okay. Well,
but there's simple exercises that you can do. I outline in the book simply just like standing on one leg for 15, 20 seconds.
And what's the name of your book?
Beautiful Bones Without Hormones.
Okay, and your name?
My name is Leon Root, Dr. Leon Root.
Okay, thanks a lot.
And I also talk about Fosamax in the book and Fortio and when to use them and when not to use them.
Okay.
All right?
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Let's talk with another listener, a caller in Piatt County on the toll-free line, line 4. Go ahead.
Oh, hello. I hope maybe a quick question. I was diagnosed 2 years ago. I'm in my mid-50s with osteopenia, and based on numbers I'm afraid I don't really understand, I had a DEXA scan.
Yes.
And my gynecologist recommended that I go on Fosamax, but when you read up on it, it just sounds so dreadful. And so I decided to try to improve, without the help of your book, I'm afraid, my own bone density by starting weight-bearing exercises and taking more Viactive, and I realized that's probably pretty primitive. And so I was wondering if you could clarify some things about Fosamax.
Well, Fosamax and Actonol is the other one that you take orally, are oral medications which decrease the resorption of bone. I mentioned the fact that bone, there's a balance between bone builders and bone eaters away. The bones, the cells that make new bone and the cells that take away the old bone, so that your bone is constantly being turned over. The balance swings as one gets older, so that more bone is being taken away than being laid down. What the Fosamax or the Actonol does is to decrease the degree of bone taken away, so it tilts the balance in favor of bone being laid down, which makes the bone stronger. And it does, you take it either of them once a week. Usually with the Actonol, you have less stomach trouble than you have the Fosamax, but they're both equally effective. Also, a smaller dose of the Actonol is a little more powerful bisphosphonate. And it can be taken safely, except for some people that have stomach problems or history of indigestion and other things like that. And since the new product out is only once a week, that makes life a lot easier for those people who have to take it. I generally, if you have mild osteopenia, which would be down to 0 to 1 point, you know, the normal T value when you do your bone mineral density study is 1.0. If you're down as -1.0, that's mild osteopenia. If you fall down to between -1 to -2, then you become moderate to more severe osteopenia. When you get to -2.5, you're osteoporotic. That's And what does it mean, -2.5 and osteoporotic? It means you have a greater danger of breaking your bones. And that's what that does. But I do believe that if you take enough calcium, and you should really try getting in your diet, you know, and that's one of the things, again, I point out in my book, ways to do that, and exercises, and weight-bearing exercises, and light weights for your upper body, I think you can really tend to often correct the osteopenia. You can really keep your bones pretty healthy that way.
And
without taking drugs and without taking hormones.
Good. And should I have another DEXA scan?
Once you're on the program, I think it's a good idea to have one a year later and see where you are. See if you're continuing to lose. If you're continuing to lose in spite of taking your calcium, in spite of doing your exercises, then I think it probably is worthwhile to go on one of the either Fosamax or Actinol.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your help.
You're welcome, and good luck.
This is the Afternoon Magazine. Dr. Leon Root is our guest this afternoon. He is an orthopedic surgeon, and he is co-author of the book Beautiful Bones Without Hormones. It includes a diet and exercise program to reduce the risk of osteoporosis and keep bones healthy and strong. This is the Afternoon Magazine. My name is Celeste Quinn. Listeners, you can call with questions. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, call toll-free, 800-222-9455. 333-WILL, 800-222-WILL. Many women who were taking hormone replacement therapy stopped when a study was halted over concerns that hormone replacement therapy increases somewhat a woman's cancer risk. Is HRT no longer being used to help maintain bone health in menopause?
Oh, it's certainly being used because the hormone replacement therapies not only improve bone loss, but also alleviate a lot of the more severe symptoms that some women have during the menopausal period. But the question is, you know, how long can you use it and how safely you can use it? It's shown that there's an increase in breast cancers about 8 or 9%, but there's also a significant increase in blood problems, heart attacks, strokes, blood clots, and, you know, and those are important things. And that's why a lot of women have stopped using it and why the Women's Health Initiative has cautioned people about continuing to take hormone replacement therapy on a long-term basis.
Okay.
But, you know, it's interesting, Celeste, that even after women would take the hormone replacement therapy, you'd have about a 50 or 60% decrease in the fracture rate. And then when they stopped taking the hormones, it dropped off, and they could still go on to osteoporosis. Because just the hormone therapy is not enough. You have to get the calcium in, and you have to do your exercises. That's the key.
Okay.
And people just think, I can take a pill, and that's all. It's to it. You know, and We're too ready to take pills and not do things the natural way in our country, I'm afraid. And I think it's important that people do this on their own, women and men. Don't forget, men have it. You know, 50% of all women over 50 will have an osteoporotic fracture-related osteoporosis. And one out of every five men will sustain an osteoporotic fracture in his lifetime. I mean, the numbers are astounding, and they're scary. But the good news is you can do something about it. And that's what I'm trying to emphasize, that you can do something about it. And that's what I try to show you how to do that, and, you know, through my book, through my recommendations for good dieting, good high-calcium foods, and the exercise program. You have to do both. You can't do just one or the other. One of the myths I do explode is that calcium alone will prevent osteoporosis or cure osteoporosis, and that is a myth. It's not true.
That exercise is critical.
Absolutely critical. You see, the bone gets stronger only if it's stressed. So if you take all the calcium in the world, and I bet even if you take hormones or just take the medications that are supposed to prevent osteoporosis and become a couch potato, you'll still get osteoporosis.
Hmm. Use it or lose it.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener, a caller. Another caller in Piatt County on line one. Hello.
Hi. You talk about calcium, getting it from food.
Yes.
And what about calcium tablets?
Well, calcium tablets is another way of getting it.
But here's my problem with that.
Yeah.
It causes me constipation. And I don't know how to, what form or how much or whatever.
Sure.
Should I, that's a really big problem for me. And it makes it, I don't know which is worse, being constipated or, I don't know.
Okay, well, let me say there are two answers to your question.
All right, good.
One is you can get calcium naturally through your foods, and that way you won't get the constipation.
Like what? What kind of food?
Well, for instance, dairy foods.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you take an eight ounce glass of skim milk, you get 330 milligrams of calcium.
Okay.
Cheeses.
Uh-huh.
Ricotta cheese, low-fat ricotta cheese,
uh-huh,
will give you 660 milligrams of calcium.
For like how much?
Ricotta cheese. For just, a cup of ricotta cheese.
A cup. Okay.
You take a cup of cottage cheese, it'll give you 137 milligrams of calcium. So ricotta cheese is higher.
Uh-huh, okay.
And then nowadays you have all these calcium-rich foods. For instance, if you take calcium-enriched grapefruit juice or calcium-rich oranges, which you can buy in the stores now,
uh-huh,
and then take an 8-ounce glass of that, that's going to be about 350 milligrams. One little three-step thing you can do. In the morning, have an 8-ounce glass of either fortified calcium orange juice or grapefruit juice,
uh-huh,
or an 8-ounce glass of skim milk. And I emphasize skim milk because you don't want to take all that extra cholesterol that you get with
No. The only problem with the juice is it's got so much sugar.
Well, that's all right. That's natural sugar. There's nothing wrong with natural sugar. That's lactose. Fructose, that's okay.
It is.
Sure. What you don't want is a sugar that's refined. Carries nothing with it.
Yeah, because
When you take natural substance, you're getting the sugars naturally,
uh-huh,
and you're getting your vitamin C. You're getting, and also they add vitamin D, and you're going to get your calcium all in one.
I
understand people worry about the sugar for two reasons. First, if you're diabetic,
uh-huh,
and secondly, you don't want to gain weight.
Well, and then I think you can get diabetic if you eat too much sugar. I don't know if that's true or not.
if you're the person that has three tablespoons of sugar to your cup of coffee,
uh-huh,
or have to have these sugar-rich desserts two or three times,
sure,
a day, or drinking,
yeah,
a lot of soda, which,
yeah,
is full of sugar.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I'm talking about natural things.
Uh-huh.
Have that for breakfast. That'll give you 350 milligrams. Eat a cup of low-fat yogurt. Gives you 450 milligrams.
Uh-huh.
Take an ounce of Parmesan cheese.
Yeah.
Grate it and spread it over your vegetables at dinner or over your fish or your chicken. When you eat it at night, that's going to give you another 350. You get over 1,000 milligrams of calcium right there.
Uh-huh. So you can easily do it with your
food. I have all sorts of these things all through the book, how to get this.
Okay.
Simply, easily, and deliciously.
Yeah, and then you won't get so constipated.
And then you won't get too constipated. Now, the second thing is that certain of the calcium compounds,
uh-huh,
cause more constipation than others. For instance, if you take the calcium citrate,
uh-huh,
you take the calcium citrate, which is calcium and citric acid,
uh-huh,
you get less constipated than if you take calcium carbonate.
Ah, okay.
So
no one's ever told me that. I've always asked, why do I have to take this? It causes me discomfort.
Yeah. And also you should be getting some magnesium with your calcium.
Uh-huh.
Because magnesium, milk of magnesia is...
That's
remember
right.
That? It's a laxative.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
So if you take your magnesia, for instance, there's a preparation called Citrical in which you get your calcium, your vitamin D, and your magnesium.
Ah.
All in one.
Okay. And then that
Citrical.
Okay.
And that's a calcium citrate. Read your labels very carefully.
Well, no one's ever told me about the citric...
Citrical. Or the calcium citrate.
Yeah. They never told me that caused less,
yeah,
pharmacists and stuff. So maybe they need to read too, huh?
Well, yeah, and the thing is, I've done the research on it, and that's all in my book. And
okay.
It's simple to and I make it very clear how to help yourself.
Okay, good.
All right.
All right, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Thanks for the call. 333-9455, the number in the Champaign-Urbana area. Anywhere else, toll-free, 800-222-9455. Our guest this afternoon is an orthopedic surgeon, Dr. Leon Root. He is the co-author of Beautiful Bones Without Hormones. And he is our guest this afternoon here on The Afternoon Magazine. One of the things you do in this book, I think, that is really important is keeping things really simple so that while we're paying attention to labels and trying to keep a running score in our heads about how much calcium we're getting through the day, it's really easy.
It's very easy. You know, and the thing is that the information has to get out there. And that's what I've tried to do with Betty and I, my co-author, tried to do. And so that we have these little facts thing, little square blocks, stands out to that brings your attention to it as you're reading it, so to make you understand which is the important factors. And it's like an underlining almost, and you can pick that up. But I can't stress enough. It's a condition which can be prevented, a condition which can be treated, but it's never cured. Because if you stop what you're doing as you get older, stop taking the calcium, doing your exercises, then you're going to get osteoporosis.
Mm-hmm.
So you can control it, but you don't cure it.
How much calcium do we need on a daily basis?
Well, it varies. I think for young people, when they're little kids, up to about 3 years of age, they need 600 milligrams a day. And then to about, 4 years of age to about 13 or so, they'll need 700 a day. But when you get to be about 13 to about 20 or 21, with those very formative years, you're growing rapidly, you need at least 1,300 milligrams a day. And then everybody over 45 should get 1,500 milligrams a day. Now, that's a little higher than most reports and people will tell you. But I think really 1,500 is where older people should get. And part of that is because, calcium is not easily absorbed. And so you have to take more of calcium as you get older so that you get more into your body.
Mm. It's dairy. We mentioned dairy, and that's a calcium powerhouse. And
right.
Skim or non-fat product have more calcium than whole milk.
That's right.
Why is that the case?
Well, if you take out the cholesterol, the fatty part of it, what do you have to fill it up with more non-fat milk? So you're adding more milk, so to speak, but you're adding the skim milk.
Mm.
And so that's one of the reasons. And so if you have natural, non-homogenized milk when you used to buy it, you'd have the fat on top. And it would be at least an inch of fat or so on top. Now, you take that away and add more non-fat milk or skim milk, then you're going to have more milk, more calcium.
Yeah. Well, we've mentioned dairy. We've mentioned fruit juices that have been fortified with calcium.
Right.
I think you mentioned fortified cereal, which is another good one.
Excellent. Fortified cereals today are very good, especially for kids. Kids don't get enough calcium. We must really work hard to get them enough calcium as they're growing.
Yeah, because I think you say that really you want to be developing that bone from the get-go.
That's right.
It's like having a nice big fat bank account.
Absolutely. It's like a bank. Because 98% of all calcium is in your bones. Only 2% is in your bloodstream. But the 2% that's in your bloodstream is essential. It helps to control your heart muscle, your rhythm of your heart. It helps in blood clotting. It helps with muscle with muscle function. It's really a very important mineral. And what happens is that if there's not enough calcium in the bloodstream, and then it goes to the bank, which is the bones, and draws the calcium away from the bones and leaves the bones a little bare. So that's one of the reasons why I have to keep supplying your calcium all the time.
Yeah. Well, now the foods we've mentioned, let's talk about some other foods that might be rich in calcium, because there are some folks who you have a plan in here for vegetarians.
Oh, yes.
And you have advice for folks who are lactose intolerant. But Let's put the dairy aside and talk about some of the other foods that are rich in calcium. How can we zoom up that calcium intake?
Absolutely. Well, you know, soy is always very rich in calcium. For instance, they make yogurt out of soy now, and a six ounces of soy will give you 500 milligrams of calcium. And now there's soy milk or rice milk, which is calcium fortified. A glass of that will give you anywhere from 200 to 300 milligrams of calcium. Same thing with soy cheese. And then besides that, vegetables contain calcium. And, for turnip greens, a cup of turnip greens cooked will give you 200 milligrams. Bok choy, which I happen to like very much, gives you 160 milligrams, a simple cut. Mustard greens will give you 105 milligrams. Kale is high in it. And one of the things that I found interesting when I did the research is that cooked broccoli, a cup of cooked broccoli, will give you 70 milligrams, whereas raw broccoli will only give you 40 milligrams.
That's interesting.
It's interesting, you know, because we always eat, you know, I happen to like raw broccoli and carrots and celery and zucchini and things like that. But it's interesting to know that the cooked broccoli is better.
Yeah.
One thing to point out that I point out in my book is that spinach, which is a wonderful food and contains high calcium content, but it contains calcium oxalate.
Mm-hmm.
Now, calcium oxalate is poorly absorbed. But if you take a lemon and squeeze it on your spinach before you eat it, and get that lemon juice soaked in, it helps to dissolve the calcium oxalate so the calcium becomes more readily available for you to use.
Isn't that amazing?
It's kind of fun. I mean, I must say that I had a good time doing all this. Now, let's go on. Sardines, for instance. I have these lists of things. A can of sardines with bones, a little 4-ounce can of sardines with bones, will give you 350 milligrams of calcium. I happen to like sardines, and sardines, a little toast, mm-hmm. Use the oil from the can, are great. Now, the other morning, I went to get some, and I have it sometimes. It's sort of like a brunch on Sundays, or I have it for a snack in the afternoon. I went to open the can, and I looked at the label. I thought, oh, my God, this is only 30 milligrams of calcium. And I thought, am I wrong? And then, of course, I looked, and my wife had inadvertently bought a can of skinless and boneless sardines.
Mm.
And it's the little bones that you're eating that give you all that calcium. So when you buy your sardines, make sure it's with bones, not the skinless and boneless, and that'll give you the adequate amount of calcium. A can of salmon with the bones will give you, a 300-ounce can of salmon will give you 200 milligrams. So, I mean, these are all good things that you can do.
Yeah. One of the things that I was talking about this morning with Harriet Williamson, my producer, is that here's a good idea. That's one of the ideas that I got from the book, is when you're making your oatmeal, either cook it with milk or soy milk.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. You know, I mean, it's such a simple thing to do when you cook your cereals. Use milk supplements whenever you can instead of water. When you're making a hot chocolate, make it with milk, not water. When you're making puddings, use skim milk, not water. When you're making cereals, oatmeal, or whatever it might be, use skim milk instead of water. And that's an added way of getting it into your system. The little things you do all day add up. And, you know, that's true of everything. It's true of the exercises you do. If you just exercise one time a day, that's not going to be enough. You know, you got to do a little bit all day. Walk that extra block, go up that extra flight of stairs, carry the groceries home. You know, it's easy to get into a car and drive. But the less you drive and the more you use your legs, the better off you're going to be.
Mm. Are there foods to be avoided?
Yes, I think there's certain foods that we really don't want to eat too much of. For instance, fats and oils and sweets are not very good for you. By sweets, I mean really sugar-type things. So you want to stay away from fats and oil substances. And in addition, meat, poultry, and most fish, without the bones, are not high in calcium. So that when you set up your daily menu for the day, you should always get the protein that you need in fish, poultry, or meat, but limit it. Don't make that the major portion of your diet. That only comes like once a day, and only should occupy no more than about 25 or 30% of all the food you eat. And if you eat the other things that we talked about, the various types of vegetables, even some fruits and the fortified cereals and things, it's very good for you. For instance, nuts. You take almonds. Almonds are pretty high in calcium, much higher. I think you can get like 250 or 260 milligrams of calcium in a handful of almonds, whereas peanuts will only give you 59. So almonds are rich in calcium and something to eat. Figs are dried figs. Five dried figs will give you 135 milligrams of calcium. So that all of these things are very good for you.
Mm. And this is something that we do throughout the day.
Yes, absolutely. We have to educate ourselves into what's good and what's not good and what we should be eating. I think eating is a very important part of life. Hippocrates said many years ago that let food be your medicine and medicine be your food.
Mm.
And we can, by eating properly, eating the right things in the right ratios, we can be much healthier people, both mentally and physically.
Should we also be concerned along the way about vitamin D?
Yes, absolutely. Because as you get older, you don't absorb vitamin D as well. And your body will not absorb vitamin D. You're not going to absorb it through your intestines. Will not absorb calcium unless you have vitamin D. And you need, for most normal people, at least 400 milligrams a day. And as one gets older, at least 600, and between 600 and 800 milligrams a day. Very essential. Now, I do believe that a little sunshine helps. Now, I know the dermatologists look at me, in horror, but if you get 15 minutes of sunshine on your body a day, that means that you're going to gain anywhere from 200 to 400 units of calcium, because sunlight on your skin changes the cholesterol in your skin into vitamin D. And that's a natural form of vitamin D.
Okay. Is there a good time if we're going to take a multivitamin, if we're going to take a calcium supplement, when should it be taken? Is there an ideal time to take those? Should they be taken together or separately?
Well, important thing about calcium is that you cannot absorb more than 500 milligrams at a time. So if I say to you, if you're going to take supplements, don't take more than 500 milligram supplement. Now, read your labels carefully, because it may say your calcium carbonate is 500 milligrams or 600 milligrams, but that may not be all elemental calcium, because calcium is in a compound. You only may be getting 40% of that number. So look carefully at your label. So if you're taking calcium, you take 500 milligrams, not more than 500 milligrams at a time. Calcium carbonate has to be taken with meals, otherwise it's not going to be absorbed so well. Calcium citrate can be taken separately without meals, because it has its own acid in it, which helps it dissolve in the stomach, and it's the most readily absorbed of all the calciums. So I usually recommend the calcium citrates, although the calcium carbonates are good as well. The calcium citrate, as I say, you do not have to take that with a meal. It's always better to take your vitamins with meals. If you're going to take vitamins, take it with meals. Then you can decide which meal you want, but you should be consistent at the same time every day.
Let's talk with another listener. Caller in Urbana on line one. Hi.
Yeah, hi. I don't know. I missed the first part of this, but I don't know if you mentioned this, or maybe you don't even know this, but there was a fellow from NASA on this radio station about a year or two ago, and he mentioned that, because they're very concerned about bone density loss and space, and he mentioned that if people will just, that a lot of the bone density is due to, it's not so much, I mean, it's also the exercise, but one of the stresses that people leave out is jolts. A jolt of the body, if you stand up on your toes and then just drop, that's the kind of a thing that'll increase your bone density by about 2 or 3%, he said. And I imagine if a woman would use a punching bag, hopefully not their husband's, they could probably capitalize on that jolt effect on their upper body, but I just thought I'd mention that. I've got to go, so I'll hang up. Thanks.
No, that's a very good point, because astronauts, when they go into space and they lose gravity, effective gravity on their bones, even though they're exercising, they come down osteoporotic after a certain period of time. And so that's very important. And the best exercises are those exercises which are weight-bearing impact exercising. Don't forget, every time you walk and take a step, you're hitting on your bone. You don't have to jolt to strengthen your bone. Just plain walking will do it. You don't have to run to strengthen your bones. But just the impact of your body on a leg will help strengthen the bones. Very important indeed.
Yeah. And also, something you mentioned in the book in the exercise program is water aerobics, which if you've got, you know, if you've got joint issues, you want to take it a little easy on those joints, but in the pool you can still get a good workout that can be good for your bones.
You know, yes, and in fact, you know, I sort of never thought that water aerobics was anything that, you know, people could gain from, except just do it easily and maybe if you have bad arthritis. But as I point out, as I mentioned in my book, when I went to visit some friends and had a pool and they had a water aerobic instructor come in and they talked me into getting into the pool with them. After 45 minutes, I had a terrific workout. I mean, I could hardly keep up, but there's a lot of up and down things in which you're really getting weight bearing on your legs, you're getting your joints moved, and you're not hurting yourself, which I think is a good thing.
Yeah, and also what I love about it is you can stay cool.
That's nice. That's something important to do in the summer.
Yeah. Let's talk with another listener, caller in Champaign, line two. Hi.
Hello.
Go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, I certainly appreciate this information. But you mentioned that calcium citrate was more important. I looked at my calcium bottle, and it says it's calcium as calcium aspartate.
Aspartate's a little different. I think your calcium citrate, or your calcium citrate, is not that it's most important. It's the one that's best absorbed.
Right.
Aspartate.
I tried very many different ones, and mm-hmm. I did the Citracal.
Right.
But I found that I wasn't absorbing it, and I noticed it in my elimination. So this was the first kind that I got that I felt I was absorbing, and I stopped having cramps in my legs and feet. I hope that's an indication that I am absorbing it.
It probably is. And, you know, not everybody's metabolism is exactly the same. And so sometimes you do have to sort of experiment, try different ones, and see which ones work for you. Now, have you had a bone mineral density study?
Yes.
And what did that show?
Well, unfortunately, it's filed away, and I didn't get it out before I called you.
But what do you recall?
They didn't give me a number like you mentioned, like
yes.
1 and 1.5 and 2.5.
Right.
They said that my bone density was equal to someone, when I first got this, it was in my 60s, right. Early 60s, and they said it was equal to someone average in their 80s.
You know, there are two numbers you get. One is called a T-score, which relates your bone density to a woman at age 30, and a Z-score, which relates it to someone who's your own age. And that's the Z-score is not as important as the T-score. Because what you want to know is what is your bone density related to a healthy woman at 30?
Oh.
You see, so that's
not somebody older, but somebody younger.
Yes, exactly, because that's important. I mean, you know, so older people can have weak bones, but you're not going to know how weak your bones are unless you compare it to someone who has normal bone.
Okay. So then I should just request that?
If it's been a couple years since you've had it, you should repeat it.
Okay.
I believe that every woman over 45 should have a bone mineral density study, and every man over 65 should have a bone mineral density study, just as a baseline.
Uh-huh. Well, I'm 71 now.
Well, there, you can see a lot of time ahead of you now, so take good care of yourself.
Okay, well, I appreciate your help. Thanks.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thank you very much for the call. And we have some listeners we're not going to be able to talk to, unfortunately, this afternoon, where we've used up the time. I hope that they'll look for your book, though.
Well, I hope so. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Dr. Leon Root has been our guest this afternoon in this portion of the Afternoon Magazine. He and Betty Kelly Sargent are the authors of Beautiful Bones Without Hormones. It's a natural diet and exercise program to reduce the risk of osteoporosis and keep bones healthy and strong. The book is published by Gotham Books, which is a division of Penguin. Beautiful Bones Without Hormones. 9 minutes before 2 o'clock, settlement prices should be in from the Chicago Board of Trade. What happened today?
Thank you very much, Celeste. Todd Gleason here, back in from a week-long vacation with the kids at home, off to 4-H camp and a few other places. And boy, did we have fun, but it's awfully good to be back on the air. Let's take a look at what happened at the Chicago Board of Trade on this Monday. Futures in the corn and the bean, or corn in the wheat pits, were lower for the day. The nearby contract down 7 cents. This mostly on what will be harvest pressure eventually in the wheat pit and the good growing conditions across the Midwest, of course, for the corn. July contract in the wheat pit once again finished the day 7 lower. Had a high of 366 and 3/4, a low at 360 and a half. Their settlement price at 363. September futures, 376 on the high, the low at 371. Settled 373 and 3/4. They were down 6 and 3/4. And December wheat, 386 and a half, the high, the low at 380 and a half. Settled 384. They were down 6 and a quarter on the day. The March wheat futures, 394 the high, the low at 390. Settled 392. They were down 6 and a half cents. And the May contract, 395 the high, the low at 393. Settlement price there, 394, down 6 cents for the day. July corn, 302 and a half the high, the low at 295, settled $3.25. They were down 8 on the day. September futures, 303 and 3/4, saw high, low at 296, settlement price at 302 and a half, down 7. And December, 305 the high, the low at 297, settled 303 and one half, down 7 and a quarter for the day. March futures in the corn pit, 309 and a half on the high side, the low at 303, a settlement price down 7 and a quarter cents, it's 307 and 3/4 in the May 2005 corn. 312 and a half high, low at 305 and a half, a settlement price at 311 and 3/4, they were down 7. July's were off 7 as well, a high today of 312 and a half, a low at 305 and a half, and on this Monday, the settlement price for the July 2005 corn at 311 and a quarter. September 2005, 293 the high, the low at 290, settled 291, down a nickel. December was down a nickel for the 2005 contract as well, a high of 276, a low at 272 and 3/4. Once again, the settlement price for the December 2005, 5 lower at 273 and 3/4. July oats now, 146 the high, the low at 139 and a half, settled 144 and 3/4, down 3 and a half cents. In the September futures, 151 and 3/4 on the high, the low at 148 and a half. Settlement price, 150 and 3/4, they were down 3 and a quarter on the day. From the soy complex, the nearby July beans, 859 and a half the high, the low at 816, settlement price at 849. They were up 10 and a half cents today. That is the basis in cash prices in New Orleans went higher. They're 50 above the July now. August soybeans, 816 the high, the low at 780 and a half, and the settlement price at 807 and a half, up 2 and a half cents. September soybeans, 725 the high, the low at 709, settled 718, down 13 cents. In November future, 690 the high, the low at 670, settled 689 and a half, down 8 and a half cents. January contract, 693 the high, the low at 673, settled 693. They were down 2 and a half cents. In the March futures, 689 the high, the low at 675, settled 689. They were down a dime. May futures, 10 cents lower as well. 684 the high, the low at 673. That May 2005 bean contract settled at 684. Once again, it was down 10. July bean meal, 270 the high, the low at 255. Settlement price, 268.70. And they were up 5. August bean meal, 259.70 the high, the low at 247. Settlement price at 259.50, up 390 on the day. July bean oil, 28.89 the high, the low at 27.81. A settlement price there, 28.53, up 12 in the August contract, 28.32 on the high, the low at 27.45. Settled 28.11. They finished the day 13 higher. Now here's Celeste Quinn with the numbers from the Chicago Mercantile Exchange.
Thank you, Todd. A mostly higher day today on Mercantile Exchange. Lean hogs were mixed in July. Pork bellies finished lower. Otherwise, the cattle were higher today. August feeder cattle, today's high, 110.10. That was the high. The low, 109. The settlement, 109.67 and a half. That up, 105. September, 108.80 the high, 107.90 the low, 108.60 the settlement, that up 110. October feeder cattle, 107.92 and a half, the high 106.80, the low 107.50, the settlement, that up 107 and a half. June live cattle, 92.70, the high 90.70, the low 91.20, the settlement, that up 70. July live cattle, 92.50, the high 92, even the low 92, even the settlement, that up $1. August live cattle, 92.70, the high 90.45, the low 91.12 and a half, the settlement, that finishing up 90. June lean hog, 79.50, the high 78.65, the low 79.30, the settlement, that up 30. July lean hog, 78 even the high, 77.10 the low, 77.45 the settlement, that down 25. August lean hog, 77.45 the high, 76.60 the low, 77.17 and a half the settlement, that up 7.5 cents. October lean hog, 64.50 the high, 63.75 the low, 64.50 the settlement, that up 2.5 cents. July bellies, 113.35 the high, 111.60 the low, 112.35 the settlement, that down 170. And the Dow currently up 110 points now at 10,353, the NASDAQ 30 higher at 2008, and the S&P 500 is up 14 at 1137.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from Verde Gallery, currently showing Just Euro Curiosities, drawings by Jody Bowen and ceramics by Ella Brown Dunn. Verde Gallery, a fine art gallery, cafe, and newsroom that features hundreds of unique magazines at 17 East Taylor, downtown Champaign. Be inspired.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
James B. Lentz from Macomb, Illinois writes, Dear Dr. Science, I have noticed that many websites state best viewed using Netscape 3.0. What harm is done by viewing these sites without Netscape?
I'll never forget the time I went to a 3D movie, but I forgot to put on those special glasses they gave you. For days, I was seeing two of everything, one in squiggly green, the other in unfocused red. In fact, to this day, I blame some of the warfare between the two hemispheres of my brain on that darn movie. These people aren't fooling around. If they want to give you a free copy of their software, take it. I imagine if you view certain sites with an older version, you'll see something truly frightening, like Bill Gates in his underwear, or Regis and Kathy Lee in theirs.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
Produced by Duck's Breath and distributed by PRI Public Radio International. For information about the new Dr. Science CD and Master's Degree Mouse Pad, call 800-989-DUCK.
Today's broadcast is made possible.